Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Hello and welcome back to Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong. My name is Mark Ellis. We have an incredible special guest today, Jacqueline Coley, joining me as co-host. Jacqueline, I have to say something to the folks at home first. Thank you for watching the new stand-up special, Alive and Well. Came out a couple weeks ago. You made it a hit on YouTube and a bunch of other platforms, so thank y'all. If you have not yet seen it, it's on All Things Comedy's YouTube channel. It's the new hour, which I am just every night at the clubs now trying to figure out how to follow it. And some nights are better than others, Jacqueline.
Yeah, I just learned this watching someone else's special. Once you've done it on TV or video, like, you have to murder that joke.
Yeah.
The child that you gave birth to and never to bring it out again.
Wow, you went dark.
That's okay. What it is. Like, all of those jokes you've murdered.
No, I feel like they graduated and they went to college.
Will we ever see them again?
They're living on a farm and they're playing. You know, let me bring our guest in, because not only is she a very funny stand-up comedian, she's also a very popular streamer. She's a jack of all trades, a Swiss Army knife of entertainment, and new to our fair city of LA, it is Lisa Wallen. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. It's very funny that you brought that up. I'm like, is that the same thing for when people post things on TikToks and Instagram? Because when I post my jokes on there, I'm like, now I tell them live and I'm like, oh no, people know the punchline.
Maybe in our head about it.
Maybe that's why they only do crowd work on TikTok a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are like I'm so tired, but because I do a lot of crowd work, but I also hate like when you're like scrolling.
Are you guys married?
Yeah.
You can tell you're not because you look happy. Boom, 100,000 views.
Listen, we're going to get into the evil that's in store for us. That's a little bit of a tease.
That is a resident here.
We're about to dive deep. But I do have two comedians here, and I will go ahead and say this about like just the comedy vibes in general is, yeah, man, like, I will say this. Crowd work, it makes me awkward now. Like, I do not want to be anywhere near a comedian that thinks I am a target for crowd work, because I am way too awkward to the point where I used to love to be the first one. I used to love to be first row at a comedy show.
Since we've known each other.
Now I don't.
No, because Jacqueline is, but like, you're going to find this too, now that you're in LA, is like around the clubs here, a lot of your friends going to want to like come hang out at night. My friends do not come into the showroom anymore.
Because our friends are comedians.
Huh? I have civilians. I have Jacqueline, producer Brian. They love coming up, meet me at a place like the Comedy Store, and I tell them when I'm going up, but I know the answer is like, they're like, I'll see you after your set. And I'm like, good. Because that's the way I kind of like it too.
Well, because let me be real. No, I catch you. But similarly to the TikTok.
Oh, you're working in the background.
Like, no, it's more of like similarly to the TikTok. If I see you, I have to put some space Otherwise, I know when the punchline is coming. Like, I know when you've gotten tight on the 6 to a 4. And, like, if I can tell you, I'm not your manager or your girlfriend. So, like, neither one of those should happen.
I hate doing crowd work. Like, if someone's talking to my set, I'll just look at them and hope they'll shut up. Like, that's like, hey.
Telepathically.
This joke is just for you now until you shut up. Like, I don't ever want to do crowd work ever.
I don't ever want the look that Lisa was giving the crowd member, because that's very, like, Alice. That's like... That's Mila Jovovich level. I'm going to kick your ass.
I mean,
maybe with jokes.
Or I might cry. I don't know.
Or she might weep.
Every comedy show, it's like you're waking up in a world that you don't understand because you never know what's going to happen. Very similar to our movie today.
That is
a good transition.
Such a good segue into Resident Evil, the movie that we're talking about. Way back in 2002, we were all so young.
God.
It launched a franchise that has grossed $1 billion, obviously based on the enormously successful video game franchise that began on PlayStation back in the 90s. 35% rotten on the tomato meter. The fans glommed on to it, even though, as we'll talk about, it diverted greatly from the storyline in the video games. It's got its legion of fans that love these movies. They go see them. They support them. 35% rotten with the critics. The audience score does rebound, 67%, so it is fresh on one of the metrics. But we're giving shout-outs to our great editorial staff here on RottenTomatoes.com right now. You can check out 50 video game movies ranked by tomato meter. Number one is Werewolves Within Us, which is from 2021, I believe. Angry Birds Movie 2, still hanging at number 2, which I don't know if that says more about Angry Birds or more about the video game movie franchises that they're trying to nip on its heels. Resident Evil's number 17. So, okay, it's kind of right there in the middle of the pack.
That's
and again,
saying something at
this
35.
Was one of like the earlier video game adaptations. Fair. And then as far as ranking the Resident Evil franchise, the TV show is actually number 1, 52%. So it's never touched fresh with the movies or the shows. This is number 3, the original. Resident Evil Apocalypse is last at number 8, 19%. But that does have its fans, as I found out the hard way from time to time on the internet. We are going to give you our take on whether we think Rotten Tomatoes is right or wrong. But before we do that, this is such a fun episode to host because I get to throw it over to Jacqueline Coley to give us the synopsis of what Resident Evil is about.
And I just want to, again, preface this because it has been a while since the synopsis is a strong word. We're going to give you the vibes. And the vibes of Resident Evil is we are following Mila Jovovich. And like literally it takes you right into the action. She wakes up. She's naked. She has no idea who she is and what is happening. And
it's
the
shower.
Fifth Element, by the way.
Very, 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 very Fifth Element in that respect. And pretty quickly, a kill team with like the mask and the cords, and they come upon her and they're like, "What happened? What is the thing?" And it's like, she's like, "Oh, I am in a spy movie and I do not know how to spy." Really, what comes to find out is she's an operative at this secret corporation and they've been building this virus. One of the opening scene of the movie is actually probably the early days of the virus being created and sort of getting out where it's not supposed to be. And it's her goal, along with the rest of this team, to figure out exactly where the virus has mutated to, maybe trap it. There's also her husband, who she's getting flashbacks to. She's like, "My husband was here. He was involved. I'm trying to piece together my memory and also save the day," because everybody knows this virus is very dangerous. And she seems to be the only one that knows exactly what happened to both it, the way to kill it, the way to figure it out, and then more importantly, the things that might have mutated because of said virus that are attacking. So
it's just like a cluster from the beginning, basically.
Cluster from the beginning, exactly. She gets put on the mission. Her memories start to slowly come back. The husband, plays by James Purfoy, anytime he shows up in a movie, ladies and gentlemen, craftiness is going to ensue. And this is no different than that. Turns out there's a lot of betrayals and secret crosses. Turns out she's, again, like the Fifth Element, is the ultimate weapon. She ends up being the one. Michelle Rodriguez comes along, and their whole thing is to get back to where the virus was created so that they can destroy it. They go back to the building. They attack the virus as well as the really creepy dogs.
Oh, the poor zombie dogs.
The Red Queen.
That have been morphed to it again. Another sinister, you know, you're trying to build a government biological agent that sort of comes against you, and that creates an evil that has been residing.
Who is
inside.
A creepy British child.
Yes,
by
exactly.
The way.
There that you
is,
go.
We have to say that.
That is residing
the
inside.
The scariest of all the children.
Exactly. Lots of twists and turns. People find out exactly where their allegiances lie. An entire stylized franchise came behind it. And we are still not sure if it was the right decision.
And we learned how to jump kick off of a wall and land a foot on a zombie dog's face. So I turn it over to you, Lisa Wallen, our special guest today. Rotten Tomatoes, the tomato meter. It's rotten 35%. Is Rotten Tomatoes rotten?
If I was 12 years old, I'd say no. But as a 33-year-old, I definitely agree. I think actually 37% might be a little too high.
Okay. Mm.
I mean, if I was a little more high last night, I'd probably agree that...
You might have enjoyed it, you know, a little more?
It's just, like you said, immediately, like first, I never played the first Resident Evil game. I played the second one, and I loved it, and I got to see, like, a little bit of the Easter eggs in there. But it's like, unless I didn't play the game, I'd be like, what the hell is going on? This is just a mess from the very beginning. They're like, this is Umbrella Corporation for 2 seconds, and you got to figure everything out on your own. So yes, it is kind of a mess, and it's loud, which I saw in the reviews. That's what they said. It's a very loud, the whole movie is just very loud.
This movie took plot, tension, and character development and just shoved all of that aside for explosions and vibes.
I will say my biggest compliment is it is the epitome of video game adaptated like into movies.
Yeah.
It's just like it's loud, it's violent, it's cool.
Stylized and cool.
Killer soundtrack, which makes it even louder.
Yeah.
Jacqueline, we have one vote for Rotten Tomatoes probably right on this one. How about you?
Yeah, definitely Rotten Tomatoes is definitely right on this one. That being said, this is a perfect movie that is style over substance, and I will say, when the style is this good, you can very much get... Because it wasn't just that. It was like the acid wash look of it. This was the promise that like Hackers and Johnny Mnemonic gave us. This was it really taking a big budget movie version of that and really leaning into it with the resources. I want to say that this movie was not a huge budget for at the time, though it was for like the type of movie that they were doing. And it was trying in earnest to make it into something that felt important.
It was peak early 2000s, like edgy zombie movie, like mom, get out of my room type vibes. Like that was what I got from it.
And it could have been, and it could have had a lot more to it if anybody involved in it had even remotely liked the source material.
Okay. There is somebody involved with this movie, the very creation of it, that I'm going to sing their praises on the other side of this once we get into movie talk. For now, I'm going to say Rotten Tomatoes. I think it is a little wrong. Now, I might have imbibed a little more herbal medication than Lisa did last night. I enjoyed watching this movie. I'm not going to get it to fresh because the movie does like completely fall apart for me and it gets very redundant and repetitive at moments. But I love the way that we kick off the action. I do enjoy the filmmaking aspect of it where we almost feel like we are also waking up from something that we don't remember. So we have amnesia alongside Alice. So we're all trying to keep pace with the same players here. I'm going to put it at like... 52, 50. I'm going to put it at 53%, which would make it one ahead of the TV show's tomato meter. So that this origin kickoff of the movies, anyway, for Resident Evil would be number one. Let's take it now to the critics and see what they were saying at the time of this movie's release for our segment hosted by Tim Ryan, our review curation manager here at Rotten Tomatoes. 2 minutes with Tim. Hit the music.
2 minutes with Tim.
It was the year 2000. I was living in a creaky old house in Providence, Rhode Island. On one cold winter's night, one of my roommates popped Resident Evil, codenamed Veronica, into the Sega Dreamcast. The rest of us watched him play in wonder. This was a game that felt like a movie. Now, hardcore gamers will probably note that there were earlier games, even earlier Resident Evil games, that felt cinematic or that told complicated stories. But anyone of a certain age whose first video game console was an Atari or ColecoVision can remember that moment where they came to the realization that video games had grown in leaps and bounds. Beyond simple quests and into the realm of much more sophisticated characterization and storytelling that might even rival the movies. So it was only a matter of time that Resident Evil would get a big screen adaptation. But critics found the result to be noisy and derivative and failed to capture what made the game exciting. Resident Evil is rotten at 35% on the tomato meter with 131 reviews, and it has a 67% audience score. And as a side note, the best reviewed movie in the franchise is Resident Evil: The Final Chapter from 2016, which is rotten at 37%. And the worst reviewed is Resident Evil Apocalypse from 2004, which is rotten at 19%. So what did the critics have to say? In a rotten review, David Hunter of The Hollywood Reporter called it a generic bloodbath that often becomes laughably unbearable when it isn't merely offensive. However, in a fresh review, Mark Stavlov of the Austin Chronicle wrote, "Is this the future of horror or just some bizarre fluke? Don't ask me, I'm having too much fun to care." The Rotten Tomatoes critics' consensus reads, "Like other video game adaptations, Resident Evil is loud, violent, formulaic, and cheesy." So that's Resident Evil. And on a personal note, I would like to apologize to Ashley Graham for all the times I failed to save her life while playing Resident Evil 4. I just want her to know that I tried my best. Back to you, folks.
Tim Ryan, trying to do what we all can. We're not all the heroes of our own story or our own video game, Tim. So let's go right into movie talk. I'm excited to talk about this. Okay, so I was mentioning that there's somebody I want to champion, there's somebody I want to shout out, and it is, of course, the director of this movie, my favorite directing, Paul Anderson.
Wow.
Paul W.S. Anderson, because he did Mortal Kombat in 95.
He's single-handedly, like, he's on the top of the video game franchise, like, he's making all of them.
Boom!
Basically.
But did we...
Mortal Kombat was great.
Mortal Kombat was great, but it, according to a lot of people, it was, again, despite him.
I'm not going to listen to any of that hubbub or pomp and circumstance. I'm not going to listen to any of that hoopla.
How
that
can he make Mortal Kombat, which played onto the campy goodness in a good way, where the cast was... It's because they were in Thailand and they were having a good time because Christopher Lambert made them be in Thailand.
Okay, I look at the difference between Mortal Kombat and Resident Evil as movies, just the first Mortal Kombat and the first Resident Evil. I think the difference in those can be explained by the differences in how video games told their story in leaps and bounds.
Well, also,
difference.
Mortal Kombat has always been corny. Like, that was its thing. It's right. Like, it was never, like, super serious. It was always so, like, the fatalities were
like,
always
just the idea that you would say to somebody, finish him. Like, just that, like let's be theatrical about it. Like, no. It's not that you're ending, sweetie. We need to, you to lay this out and make it, like, such a thing. And finish him.
They did it was, like, again, that peak edge that you got in video games. And it was like, of course you have to do that in a movie. But Resident Evil didn't capture that.
No.
The same as Mortal Kombat did.
No, and what's weird to say is how much more they actually deviated from the Resident Evil video game to make this movie versus Mortal Kombat. Because Mortal Kombat is basically just like a fighting tournament. It's like March Madness that they captured on film. And I thought that they did a great job of that. With this, you actually have a movie to make. You have like storylines and like a plot, like
you
a
have
backstory.
To explain stuff just so you can understand who's attacking you by the third act.
Right. So let's get to our backstory with this movie, but I even want to go further back than the film. Lisa, were you like a person in the world when the Resident Evil video games were coming out?
Oh yeah, I was too scared to play them until literally last year though.
And that's like one of your many hats that you wear. It's like you stream video games,
right?
Yeah,
I started playing Resident Evil last year because I'm that scared to play video games. But the only reason why I play Resident Evil 4 is because they told me the game is goofy. It's a goofy game. Because it was like, it was right when they brought Leon in. He was like the himbo-y hunk, like ex-raccoon cop with his stupid hair part.
It seemed like
killing zombies and his hair is just perfect. And I'm like, I have to play this. And
like Silent Hill was like the actual, like, we're trying to scare the crap
Silent
out of you.
Yeah, in Silent Hill, I watched playthroughs. I would not play them. And the same thing with Resident Evil was I watched people play them. I would not play them. But like, yeah, during the time when all those came out, I was still like my little Nintendo self. It's like, I don't know if I can get into these. They're too scary. But when the movies came out, like I remember when this movie came out, I was super into zombie movies. Because this was the era of zombie movies. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to play Resident Evil. Someone watched the movie. And I remember being like, oh, yeah, this shit's so badass, blah, blah, blah. And then rewatched it last night and realized I was just 12.
Didn't quite hold up the way you wanted it to.
But like, yeah, like watching Resident Evil and like every game has a different story and it's still going on to this day. It was like, yeah, like this was a big, even if you didn't play the games, this was a big part of your childhood as someone who was like growing up in the 90s with video games.
You were aware of it.
This is what I mean by saying the promise that was given to us by like Kate Bush and hackers and all of that like late 80s, early 90s sort of, this was that maturing. That was these folks getting money and style and saying, let's go make a movie. And the fact that it ended up being this disappointing is, again, not surprising to me. Look, this was going to be George Romero. This was going to be a horror movie.
It was going to be George Romero. So the backstory of this is that they wanted George Romero to do this. So what George Romero did is apparently he asked his secretary to play through the entire game and record it. So, because, you know, he was up there and he's like, I don't want to play this video game. And so he, like you, used to watch the playthrough and made some notes. He wrote a script. It got rejected by the production company. Apparently, he wrote like 5 different treatments. They all got rejected, not necessarily because they weren't good.
Because it just didn't do what they wanted, which they just wanted like a video game thrill ride.
And they thought that they were going to, like, if they make these scripts the way that they're written, that this was going to be like NC-17 stuff. And they're like, we also want to make money with this. Yeah.
Which is so ironic now because people are wanting more emotionally driven story-based stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, anytime they have a video game remake or whatever, like, that's why Arcane did so well.
That's why Last of Us did so well, too, as a TV show.
Yeah, because it's like, we don't really care. The violence and, like, the combat stuff is fun, but like people love the stories more than anything. And so this felt like they just threw people in being like, I hope you understand what Resident Evil's about because we're about to just get right into the action for 2 hours. That was it. Yeah.
No. Were you a Resident Evil gal growing up, like playing the games?
No. In fact, horror games. My experience with horror is a basically post-college experience. When maybe my parents.
Everyone else's too. Yeah, I mean, the minute you graduate.
I mean, I don't even know if it was that case. Like, my parents very much didn't care what I watched as long as I was just not disobeying their Christian rule. But like, you can watch whatever, just like pretend that you like Jesus.
Show up to church on Sundays, yeah, and you can watch all the Freddy Krueger you want.
But the one thing I will say about that time is I wasn't about these video games, but I will say I knew enough about the like style and lore of them at that point. Like, these were still things that were very popular on message boards, and like, I didn't need to be in that world to know what it was about, and also to know that it was not being put forth with this sort of effort. Like, it just, nothing about the vibes of this movie, other than Mila Jovovich's casting, which was pitch perfect, absolutely, did really sort of support what they were going for. Like, there was a very clear aesthetic that they married to in this, but they really didn't give a care about like the emotionality of people that were playing this game that you wanted to maybe try to recreate in a movie was just not something that they cared about.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, and like, you could argue the decision-making that the brass did because they deviated so far from the game storyline. I do give them credit for being like, this is how we're going to launch a franchise telling a story in a movie setting versus sticking to the video game. But also, this was like kind of the Wild West when you're talking about adapting a video game where we don't know how hardcore these fans are. We know the game's popular, but we don't know if they're married to the storyline, if they just want to see Resident Evil, Umbrella Corporation, Raccoon City, and that's going to like kind of like, you know, give them the hydration they need for this thirst for more material, or do they actually want us to use the same characters? This one radically deviated from that, and it did launch a franchise that now has its own legion of fans that are like dedicated to the movies.
And the cutscenes now are way better than all the movies put together. So
yeah.
I will also add this too. It is definitely a movie that speaks to this old idea of the video game issues, because that was the one thing I remember about Resident Evil. It came out in March, but by the time it came out on video in the fall, everybody and their mother at like Halloween time was either buying or renting that movie. I remember that like specifically. It was like that, you know, those October blockbuster finds?
Yeah.
This was that. This was absolutely that.
I also try to be more forgiving because of the time it came out. Because between 2000 and 2005, it was like, how edgy and offensive and can we get about everything? And there were so many zombie movies. And I think for this one, it was like, yeah, we could do a regular, like, people are infected by the T-virus type thing. But what if we try to switch it up so they're not just attacking zombies the whole time? And it's like, there was too many factors during that era that, yeah, yeah, when you watch it now, you're just like, what the hell is this?
It's insane to think that they went away from the horror angle of the video game because they wanted to market it. So they wanted to make it like a kick-ass action thriller. And I give the movie's marketing a lot of credit because I watched the trailer for Resident Evil last night.
A horror movie, right? Though.
It looks like a female-led sci-fi masterpiece. Because
really?
Because it's Mila Jovovich and Michelle Rodriguez are the two names that they sell it, and then Resident Evil. And then there's just a bunch of dudes who are zombies. And I'm like, that's such a cool, progressive way to market it.
Oh, wow. I thought that they just marketed it as a horror movie, and then people got an action movie.
I don't know if it was this one or maybe the next one, but I remember the commercial. This is burned in my brain, being in the theater, seeing a commercial for the Umbrella Corporation. Like it,
cool.
Like a fake one. Yes.
Yeah, it was a fake commercial. And then at the end of the commercial, they like get all like horror vibes. Like it gets that ominous, like,
I think this
energy.
Is a later one because that's what I was thinking that you were going to say for the marketing.
I remember
that.
Specifically that happening. And that's what made me like oh, yeah, like, I don't, sorry, I can swear, right?
Yeah, we can beep.
Good.
We can beep it.
Good.
It doesn't
just
matter.
Beep me all the time. It's fine. But I remember that commercial, and I should have just rewatched it last night, but, like, that was burned in my brain and being like, that is such a great way to advertise this movie.
And not I was so weird about this movie and this video game because I think I was, like, a horror movie kid. Like, I'd watch all the Nightmare on Elm Streets and the Friday the 13th and all that stuff with me and my big sister. My brother wasn't as big of a horror movie fan, but then he started playing Resident Evil and like loving it. And so I was kind of like, just like check in on that. When the movie came out, I think I was just like so stuck in my ways that you can make a great horror movie, but horror video games didn't work for me for whatever reason. I was just more of like the, just put me in outer space, like give me Master Chief, let me go shoot a bunch of aliens. That's kind of what I wanted to do, not necessarily play a game, then get scared. So I wasn't into Resident Evil when it came out. Like I didn't see it in the theaters. I don't know when I came across this first movie. Like watching it last night again, I was like, have I seen this movie before? All the way. So this might have been like the first time I saw Resident Evil, the first one, start to finish.
No, I saw it on TNT. This was a big TNT movie is when I saw it. But I also remember everybody had a copy this movie. This was a big TNT movie.
I have a copy. I have this on DVD. Uh-huh. And I also have the next one on DVD. And I'm like, why do I own these?
Because there were
early days of DVD, man.
Well, this is the thing. There were certain movies back at that time that just became those. Office Space was a DVD/VHS movie.
20 like, Days Later was another one.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Like they were just movies that it was maybe you didn't see it in the theater, but it definitely became part of it. And then you wanted to buy it later to like have it back at your house. And there's like a ton of movies like, you know, another one I could think of like that, The Skulls. That was a movie like that. People bought The Skulls even if they didn't watch it. Because of Pacey.
That was also a weird time, too, where a lot of horror just, like, stopped being so much horror. Like, like for me, like, Resident Evil is, like, the idle hands of horror. Like, it's like, this isn't scary. I'm just laughing the whole time.
But
like,
it was set up to be because the game had those elements. And again, this is why I say, like, again, I didn't play Resident Evil, but I know enough about it. I've watched Let's Plays for
Resident Evil 4 is one of the funniest games I've ever played in my life.
It is very funny. But really? It is very funny, but this is not where we're...
Yeah.
They're supposed to be adapting the earlier versions of this game, which is like peekaboo horror. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it was.
There's a couple like good scares in this movie, but it largely does feel more like an action, and we happen to be like fighting against zombies, like an action-centered episode of Walking Dead. But, I mean, some of the action of this is really cool, and a lot of folks do credit Resident Evil for being... one of the first movies where you get that superhero land, the post-apocalyptic hero landing.
Yeah.
You know, like you just jump kick some zombie in the face and you land and like the one hand goes down to you know, like aerodynamics and you land like this and then you stand up and you're like a badass.
Yeah.
Watching somebody who can't remember anything remember that they're a super powered like individual will never not be fun to me. Whether it's a Bourne movie or whether it's this.
And Resident Evil, I mean, Capcom in general loves their models. Like they love, like we have to have the most beautiful protagonists in every game. And they either have their biceps showing or their tits out, like putting her in the red dress.
Dude.
It was like.
Yeah, movie doesn't mess around. She wakes up naked in a shower. She walks to the next room and there's a red dress.
She is a victim of waking up naked in a lot of movies.
A lot of movies. She does Born Yesterday, but massively gifted very well. And this is like, this is one of two.
Also, the end of Resident Evil where she wakes up again in the hospital she just has like a paper towel on her. I was like, really?
I mean,
really?
Doesn't she marry the director eventually?
I mean, I can see why.
Yeah. So the other thing I will say about this, the reason why I also know these people don't care about it is if you look at Anderson's filmography, he definitely made a name for himself in video game movies. But if you look at once he got out of that bread and butter, what he was doing, just these straight action movies. And with like he did Three Musketeers.
Mm-hmm. And he made that into like so cheesy. So like, it's like, I love it.
So it's almost like what he's talking about is irrelevant. He's going to put the same schlocky, over action, hyped up Michael Bay style. Like he's basically emo Michael Bay. Like that's what he is.
Emo Michael Bay is a good tag.
I think that's what he is. Like it's just he just takes that and plays that over whatever thing that he's dealing with.
But definitely like Warped Tour era emo, not like
that's it. Actually, Warped Tour,
not like TikTok emo.
Actually, no, that's even better. Like I would even say he is seen Michael Bay.
Yeah,
he is seen Michael Bay. Like he is like
he is RAR XD Michael Bay. Yeah, that's what he is.
Like Tragedies Know My Name. Like very that.
I feel like we're the Umbrella Corporation and we're spawning all these Michael Bays.
You're sitting here listening to our emo references too.
I'm just worried about all these little Michael Bays running around. Don't let them out of the studio, bro.
I did not know those people, but I was so fascinated by it. Because like again, anytime in high school that you can live in your truth against like what I lived in, which was like suburban Christianity, I'm just like, I'm in the back like
give
cheering
it to me.
Them, cheering
also,
them on.
I just played Resident Evil 2 Remake last year. And so watching it last night was cool because I got to see some of the references from the original 2.
That's the thing that I did. Even though this doesn't really tell the story of the initial Resident Evil video game all that well or attempt to, a lot of the shots in the movie feel like a video game cutscene. And I think that that's obviously intentional. And that's one of the things that I appreciated about the movie is that even if they weren't honoring the source material the way the plot goes, they were still servicing the fans that they hoped would show up. They're like, we think a lot of gamers going to come watch this movie. So let's give them what they love about video games. And it's not just the playability.
For me, it's that train underground. I was like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like,
it's like, interesting you think about it. The one thing I was looking up is I wanted to know how many copies of video games. Because I do think the fallacy that people had with video games is they think that it has to be the number of sales that equivocates the audience. I see why you don't cater a movie like this to a video game audience when you're like, they only made 6 million physical copy sales.
Also, gamers don't leave the house. So
it's true.
You
know? But it's not like
they'd rather be playing the game.
Yeah.
But it's not like video games now. You have like 100 million households in America that have at least one video game console. This was not the case back in 2001.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Like video game consoles were definitely picking up, but there was not this mass adoption. And so they're like, why are we catering to the freaks in their basement when there's not going to be that many of them who are probably not going to like this to begin with? They'd already gone through Lara Croft. They'd seen how this story played.
But Resident Evil was definitely like, if you think of like the big like 5 video game franchises, I think Resident Evil is going to be on there. Because before that, it was like Nintendo was kind of like the powerhouse of franchises. And then when PlayStation came out, you know, there was a lot of JRPGs that had bad raps. And then there was like Resident Evil. And it's like, oh, like here's like, even though it's a Japanese game, here's a westernized Japanese game that we can get into. And so like, like that. And because of that, that became a big inspiration for a bunch of other horror games.
And there was a void at movie theaters for stuff like this because Nintendo basically shut down that pipeline. Anything that could have been a Nintendo movie was killed because of how bad the 93 Super Mario Brothers movie was. So Nintendo's like, none of our properties are ever going to be on the big screen again.
I mean, how
it's
great
the opposite
it was.
Of Barbie.
They knew no one could live up to that. That's what it was.
And it's like, nobody's ever going to be as good as Hoskins and Leguizamo again. Yeah. So.
The same hubris that made them think that is the reason why I'm reading about the 100 different things that Mattel wants to put out now just because of the success of Barbie. These people need to appreciate the singularity of everything.
Can we please get a mousetrap game?
Mousetrap always got me when you got to hit the thing and the old guy's jumping off the diving board. That's where my mousetrap went
Name
wrong.
Name 3 other games, product toys that have the sort of like ubiquitous pop culture cred that Barbie does.
Legos.
Okay.
But they also have
they already have a ton of Lego movies. They already have Lego movies.
Right?
That has not been done. That has not been done.
And they were monstrously successful.
And they were monstrously successful. So like there's one, there's Barbie. Give me 3 other toys.
But that's why they're going towards video games now. Like obviously like Mario, it's like, oh, now Illumination to Mario. Wonder what other franchises we could buy.
Yes.
Like, can we get Metroid? Can we get Zelda? Blah, blah, blah.
Do you feel like they've cracked the code? Because there's been a few false starts with video game movies where it's like, oh, I think we got something here. Like I even remember when Duncan Jones, who I love as a filmmaker, was making Warcraft and like seeing some stuff for Warcraft, I'm like, this really could be good. And I thought the movie was okay, but it just felt like the movie, I mean, Warcraft is such
a
massive game. You can't tell that story on the big screen. That's more of like what a streaming
like
show
a
would have been.
TV show, yeah.
Oh my God. Like, what's so crazy is Activision and Blizzard has just gone so down bad right now. And they recently, our friend Dan Peralt, just did a video game TV show in partnership with Activision called Players. It didn't work. It didn't like become the thing that they wanted it to become.
Right. I was talking with him about that.
Yeah. But there's a ripe like place to go with that. But right now with all the.
Well, that's what you said when you said like Barbies, Legos, name other toys. Like there hasn't really been any because everything kind of went digital like in so the 2000s.
But again, it's that hubris. I'm like, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, we're going to make the same mistakes we just, like, I think I've seen this
before. We do not need a Mattel multi-universe, like, MCU.
Seriously, like, why is it that nobody can grasp that some things cannot be recreated the way that you want them to, even if it seems that way? Because even if you look at, like, Resident Evil, each one of these movies, when you look at why a movie like Apocalypse or maybe the fourth one does better, it is not because of it really leaning in on most of the stuff that it's done before. It's usually changing a lot of it.
It's also because they can't capture the characters either. Like, Alice had to be an original character because they're like, well, we can't put Jill Valentine in this game or this movie or Chris Redford or whatever. We have to have original characters. Like, if I saw a Resident Evil movie and they try to capture the likeness of Leon, I'm going to hate it.
Yeah, right.
Because you can't.
Right.
It's the same reason why they can't do a Zelda movie. Link can't talk. Where they have a silent protagonist. They could do it, but they're going to f*** it up. Like, that's the same thing with Mario movie. It was like replacing the actual voice actors. Everyone's like, okay, like, I don't agree with this. Like, Donkey Kong shouldn't sound like Seth Rogen.
That was the pushback with the Mario. I mean, it still did massive box office just because Mario is such a known property and they just were very surface level.
It was very fun, but it's those things where it's like video games have such a specific type of characters and specific type of storytelling that will never be perfectly captured.
But they do, but they do sometimes. Because, like, I push back on something like The Last of Us, and we talked about this a little bit on this show. That was, like, a perfect example of what you could do, because I used this movie.
I didn't like it.
Blasphemy.
You're like one of the few people I've heard didn't like it. Did you play the video game?
I did.
And you didn't like the show. What didn't you like about the show?
I mean, I think... Well, so did you guys play the game?
Yes.
I did not. No.
Okay. Yeah. And so the game is very heavily focused on the relationship between Ellie and Joel.
Yeah.
Like, and you're playing for 40 hours and 8 episodes. They spent 3 episodes on NPCs and side characters that they never established the relationship development between Joel and Ellie.
Well, I think they did. I just think it's harder to do that explicitly on television. Yeah. Like, it's one of those things where, like, in the game, you literally witness Joel slowly becoming more, like, opened up to Ellie, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a huge part
of
it.
They also kind
of
realized that it was going to be boring if they made it longer because the game is so focused on your interaction.
Yes.
That they're like, there's actually not a lot of zombie fighting in the game. So, but everyone is going to expect those zombies and those mushrooms and stuff, but we had a focus. So they put so much emphasis on, like, the Frank episode and the sites, the DLC stuff, that by the time it got to the end, I was like, if I had never played the game, I don't think I would have enjoyed this. Like, that was my...
I think that, and we talked about this, you know, we've had episodes of this show where I'm like, because I wasn't so immersed in the lore already, I think I might have enjoyed something more. What I feel like the achievement of The Last of Us is that it solidifies that video game culture, from the players, the fans, to the people making the movies based on the games, have arrived at this realization so much faster than comic book movies did. Because video games and comic books... The old school thinking was that these are for kids. These are properties for kids, right? So it took forever for comic books to get to the point where you can make a movie and have it be adult themed, even if it's for a mass audience.
Yeah.
And then you have to deal with fans now carrying their own set of expectations because they love the lore. They've been reading the comic books their whole life. How do you meet that? But also please people who've never seen it before. I think video games have shortened that timeline because I watched The Last of Us and I really dug it, even though I had never played the game. And so I feel like they've looked at their big brother, the comic book movie, and been like, here's how we can kind of like circumvent some steps. But you have to give properties like Resident Evil credit because they've been here since the beginning. Yeah. Maybe not as the best template for what to do, but I think you can look at the Resident Evil movie since 2002. I mean, we've been doing this for 20 years now.
Yeah.
And be like, these are the steps that we appreciate they've taken. And then these are the ones that we're going to sort of course correct for our own property.
Also, Last of Us is definitely the emo version of Resident Evil.
Last of Us is the emo version of Resident Evil. Okay.
Not to make this the Last of Us episode, but I will add to this. I think I agree with what you're saying on like how it changed the tenor. What I think is interesting about video game movies now, and Resident Evil does this, is if you pick the right video game movie and the world and the lore and the texture and sort of like the world building that you put these characters in is rich enough, if you can just recreate that in a different format, you can play a lot more within that structure long as they do that. And so the thing I say about The Last of Us is there's aspects of playing the game, like a cut scene between Frank and his partner. That's literally...
I feel like the whole game, it's like God of War would have been a really good adaptation too because the whole game is, this is just an ongoing cut scene and a relationship developed between two characters.
Yes.
Resident Evil's not like that though.
No.
Which is why it's like, we have to go full edgy. Because, like, people played Resident Evil 4 because they knew it was going to be goofier. Like, Leon says the dumbest shit in that game.
Did that get a good response from the fans? Like, they were ready for a goofier...
It's the best Resident Evil game, like, rated-wise.
See, okay, this is actually making me like Resident Evil, the movie, a little less. Because, like, I love the action in it. I think Mila Jovovich is an all-time ass-kicking lead. So is Michelle Rodriguez, for that matter. The thing that bothered me is, like, I would have liked, I don't need banana peels and, like people throwing pies at each other in Raccoon City, but I need a little bit of...
levity.
Can you tell a joke?
Michelle Rodriguez...
Michelle was supposed to be
given that. She actually has a couple lines.
She's like, bitch ain't standing now.
I'll give her credit. My God, did she hang on forever in this movie.
Yeah.
She gets bit, like, halfway through, and she just keeps... she is so damn tough. I would have turned into a zombie. Zombie bites me. I'm a zombie in 3 seconds. I'm surrendering to it. I'm like, maybe there's a nice benefits package. I don't know. Michelle Rodriguez fights that forever to the point where I'm like, does she come out of this alive?
I was to say that's the bad part about this is they kill her so early in this one. That's the reason why.
Cool looking zombie.
She was a cool looking zombie. I don't know. I think it's harder with video games. I think you just have to take aspects of it and translate it. Because the movies that I've seen where they've tried to do it exactly... Assassin's Creed.
Or just
Creed.
Make it a TV show. Like, games are so long.
Yeah,
just make,
fair.
Like, you can't take, how are they going to make a Zelda movie? There's, like, 18 Zelda titles, and they all, like, 40-hour games. Yes, they have the same premise, but, like, what are you going to do in 2 hours? Oh, go save the princess. Okay, here's 20 minutes of me going through 9 temples. I get the sword, and I kill the Ganon. Like, again, Last of Us, and I always say Arcane, because I'm like, I didn't care about League of Legends. I love the show, though. It's like, putting this in a movie, I think that's why there's so many Resident Evil movies, is because they're like, we can't do this in one movie. Like, we have to keep going with this.
It's so interesting hearing you talk about RPGs, because, like, that's why I'd much rather watch a Resident Evil movie than play. And I know that that's not necessarily your traditional
RPG. The Witcher, too.
But no, like, yeah, The Witcher, yeah.
Like, Richard's the Final Fantasies RPG. Of the world were when I started drifting away from video games, because, like, I just want to plug something in, save a princess, and I'm done 10 minutes later. The Final Fantasy started coming out. I'll never forget this conversation I had
when
with a friend
of
mine.
When is the fantasy final?
It never ends. My buddy got it for Super Nintendo when I was a kid, right? And like 3 days after I knew he got it, this hot new video game, I come over and I was like, hey, so how's the game so far? And he's like, I haven't started it yet. I'm still reading the instructions. And I'm like, right away, I'm like, I'm out.
Damn.
I want to plop something in, blow on it, plop it in, start playing it, and be done 10 minutes later.
It depends on how serious you are about your Final Fantasy. There's a lot of lore in Final Fantasy.
There's too many.
It doesn't mean that you can't
do
that.
They should have never named it Final Fantasy, honestly.
By the way.
Final Fantasy VII is such a weird, a weird thing to say.
You can do that. It's just not going to be very fun at first. Like, it's not like you can't do that. He's just trying to make it to where his first, like, campaign out, it's going to be something he can, like, stink into.
No, I'm a moron. And I've only gotten dumber with age.
Not to deviate from this conversation, but I just started playing through the Metal Gear Solid games for the first time.
Oh, wow.
If you want to talk about games that you don't even get to play.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, this game is 30 hours of a cutscene. I play for 10 minutes, but I love it, so I don't care.
Those games feel like going to, like your parents are telling you we're going to Disneyland and you show up at Epcot Center and you're like, you're making me learn.
I mean, it depends.
This was never about rides, was it?
I'm an AC girl. I love Assassin's Creed. Doesn't matter how crappy the games get or how good they are, I will play it every single
time. And that's
time.
The beauty of video. That's how some people feel about these movies, too.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't care how bad they get, I'm still going to watch them.
That is the video game player in them of like, look, I've committed to this franchise. And they may surprise me. It's very tricky in that way.
With Star Wars, too.
There's so many...
We need to stop making Star... All the wars should be done. Like, why do they keep having...
We blew the thing up again.
There's too
and again,
many. Yeah,
and again.
But people will just eat it up because they're like, oh my God, I love this franchise. I'll do anything. I'll play, I'll watch, I'll do anything that they do because I love it. And you know what? I just admire that dedication.
There is a tried and true built-in fan base to these movies because when you look at the box office returns, none of them are like eye-popping numbers in terms of like, you know, your Mission Impossibles or what like the action movies we have now, but there's always a profit to be made. I think it's
collectors too.
Yeah, collectors do it. Worldwide, these movies tend to do better than they do in the States because there's such a mass appeal with the video game built in. And, you know, it really is more about the language, the universal language of artistry and physicality and just beating the crap out of a zombie than it is a witty quip.
Or sometimes you want mindless fun.
That's what you're getting. But there is some cool built-in mythology, too. One scene that I love, and I'll set the table for y'all if there's a particular scene in this first movie that y'all really took away. I love late 90s, early 2000s action movies with lasers in them. Not laser swords.
I was going to bring up that. Like,
where you're fighting.
Jesus Christ.
Security lasers. The security fence lasers where it felt so video game-y. We're in this room and it's kind of like this hallway. And we're trapped. We're trying to get through a door. And then this one laser comes and it's on the floor. We got to jump over because it doesn't look good. Cuts off some guy's leg.
It just, yeah.
And then it hits the top and it's like, oh man, we barely avoided that one. And then the waffle beehive lasers come at you and it cuts the dude and he just falls to all these different pieces.
Also a very early 2000s thing. Like, you remember that movie Equilibrium?
Wow.
Yes.
When he slices off Taye Diggs's face. That's the first thing, because that scene is embedded in my 10-year-old, 11-year-old brain. Haunts me to this day. Yep. And that's all I thought of last night when the girl's head just falls right off.
Because they look like they survived it initially. They're still together. And
there's a little bit. It's so anime,
House
too.
Of Cards.
Yeah, it is very anime. I would say anything with Michelle Rodriguez, but her, like, final stand is, like, a great scene. Like, again, this movie was made action set pieces with a little bit of sinew.
Yeah.
Let's give it for the action set pieces.
Yeah, again, she hung in there longer than any human I've ever seen. Walking Dead, Night of the Living Dead. Anybody's been bit by you. We all owe a debt of gratitude to Michelle Rodriguez. Final thoughts on Resident Evil is it was opening up against an Ice Age movie, and it lost to Ice Age. It did beat Showtime, starring Eddie Murphy and Robert De Niro, in that opening weekend as well. So
I can't believe that movie.
These movies do tend to make money.
They do make money. And I will say this.
I mean, those are the three personalities of 2001 right there.
Showtime.
That really does put it in perspective. Yeah. That really does. Also, too, up until 2 years ago, they've always made at least $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yep.
So that's insane.
All right. You guys want a fun trivia game to play before we say goodnight here?
Right, I don't know if it'll be fun, but I'll play.
It's always fun. It's trivia. Yeah, I gotcha. In 2002, the highest grossing movie was one of these four titles. Can you tell me which one? It was either Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, Spider-Man, or Star Wars Episode II, Attack
that
of the Clones.
That is a f***ed up question.
I know. That's why
Attack
I asked
of
it.
The Clones, I think.
Okay, Jacqueline's going Attack of the
I'm
Clones.
I'm going to go with...
What says Lisa Wallen, our special guest contributor
Lord of
today?
The Rings.
Lisa is correct with Lord of the Rings.
So I thought it was something that it was not going to be normally. So I mean, that's why I picked it.
You know, I'm a Star Wars. I'd be rooting for Star Wars. Yeah. But,
I also think Harry Potter had kind of a late start.
It did have a late start. Harry Potter
Lord of
did
the
not...
Rings was like...
This is how how far I've fallen off the trivia host pantheon is that I literally listed them in order. I was too lazy to... So it goes Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Spider-Man, and then my boy Anakin. Get a little... Anakin, slow down with that relationship. That's not what Jedi do in
episode
two. By
the way, love that movie.
Let's go to our big finish, Brian. No time for a mailbag today. We've been too busy gushing about Michelle Rodriguez finally turning into a zombie, Mila Jovovich kicking ass all over that Raccoon City and other parts of the world, and the Resident Evil movies as a whole. So we love hearing from y'all. Let us know, what's the best video game adaptation into a movie of all time, and why did you not say Paul W.S. Anderson's Mortal Kombat? I gave you the correct answer. I told you what the test is, and you still missed it. Lisa Wallen, this was so much fun. Thank you so much
for
being available.
Thank you for having me on here. This is great.
So you moved to L.A. not that long ago, and you're already immersed in the stand-up scene here. You're already, you do a lot of gaming on Twitch. You work with esports, so the floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, you could basically find my... I don't know if they're going to put the handle up or anything, but basically my
handle. Oh, we have that technology.
My handle's the same on everything. I post comedy clips, gaming clips. I stream on Twitch. Yeah. And yeah, just moving to LA a few months ago. So I'm still establishing myself in the comedy scene here. But if you're in LA, come watch me. If not, go watch my stuff online because I could use those views.
We could all use the clicks.
Jacqueline, yeah. What you got going on? Are you traveling like I am in September? We have a long-standing Air Miles battle. Yeah. Between because she's going to festivals all over the world. I'm doing dates in like, you know, Cincinnati and Dayton, but the miles still rack up.
Yeah, I will definitely be recording the podcast at least through September consistently. But it gets dicey after that because I got a few festivals. I don't like saying it because if I say where, it just feels like bragging.
No, say it. Come on.
Going to Venice, the Venice Film Festival and the Toronto Film Festival. And then I'm going down to Austin, which is normal.
Okay.
And New York.
When's TIFF this year? It's sometime in September?
Yeah, it's the second week of September. I leave Venice on the 6th and I fly directly into Toronto and then I'm there until the 13th. Yeah, see, this is why.
I haven't been to Canada.
You should be bragging.
To tell jokes.
I would be.
It's a great job. It's the greatest scam in the world. They let me watch movies for a living. But again, it's like one of those things where I'm like, I hate me talking about it. Like, I do. Like, I'm literally listening to it and being like, oh, your life.
All right, fine. I'll pick it up for you. You can catch Jacqueline when she's not ordering champagne in first class of a certain airline racking up those miles. She'll be at various film festivals covering a lot of stuff. See her on TV. For me, got some tour dates coming up this fall, including Vegas, New York, Dallas, and then there's both Washingtons, D.C. and Seattle. So a lot of places you can come see me in person. Chip away at that new hour. We're not all Alice from Resident Evil, where we have a new great one come out every 2 years.
Yeah.
So I'm working at this new thing, but you can watch The Last Hour Alive and Well just came out on YouTube.
Yeah, when Mark is working up in Vegas is usually when I'm in Toronto, so.
Yeah, so I'll be at MGM Grand and you'll be at some fancy highfalutin
Hopefully
party.
Hopefully I'll be sleeping here because I've been traveling too much.
No, I dig that for you. I deserve that for you.
That's the best. But you moved to LA, you're settled. Now you get to sleep regularly. It's good when you're not at comedy clubs late night. So our schedule, it just never ends. So that is Lisa. That is Jacqueline. I am Mark. You all can hit us up with a movie, a TV project, or you can write us a mailbag, be a member of our Fresh Ketchup crew. Hit us up anytime at rtiswrong@rottentomatoes.com. Speaking of rottentomatoes.com, that's where there's so many great editorial stuff, some updates about the TV and movies that I'm not necessarily going to trumpet right now because union strong, but you can go there and look at all the stuff coming out in theaters, all that good stuff. And next week, we have a big episode, Jacqueline.
Yes, we are going to, you know, in the brightest day and darkest night.
Wow.
You cannot keep us away.
You knew that. You knew that. Are you one of them? Are you one of them lanterns?
Shut up. Listen, I don't need the power ring.
I see your nails.
This would make me sinister, actually. Like, my favorite color
is
yellow.
I just love
that
it matches. I didn't get the
yes,
memo. That's all
this.
I got to say.
Yeah, that's on me.
That's
why producer's here. We can blame Brian for that. So that's going to be Green Lantern coming at you the next time you hear and see our smiling faces. Until then, for Lisa Wall and Jacqueline Coy, the whole gang here at Rotten Tomatoes, I am Mark Ellis. Thank you. Good night. And hang in there, Michelle Rodriguez.